I thank you for my daughter, Patricia, 6 years old, Father God, and leading worship. Thank you so much for that, Father. I thank you for my sons, Lord. I thank you for everyone that came tonight, Father God. I pray for everyone in this house, Father God, that they're all blessed abundantly, Father God. I pray that the cloud of the enemy blows away, Father God, and you sweep us, Lord, underneath your wing, Father God, into your provisions, Father God. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much, Father God. Tonight's teaching is going to be on the book of James. A man can live his entire life by the book of James. Jesus is the answer. Believe in God. Follow me to church. James is very energetic, and his style is crisp. His words are chosen well. But James teaches us that it's not just so much to say you're a Christian. It's that you really have to live the Christian lifestyle. He begins the book of James by outlining some general characteristics of the Christian life. And he follows this advice with theological discourse on the relationship between faith and action. James is an amazing book if you're going through a trial. If you're having hard times in life, if you're under attack by the enemy, if you're going through a pruning where God is pruning you, where God is changing you, James is an excellent book to read. Besides the four Gospels, I think it's one of the most important books in the Bible. James opens up with, "This letter is from James, a slave of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings." See, James talks about two kinds of wisdom, earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. He encourages his readers to turn away from evil desires and obey God. When you read James and put James into perspective, it's just absolutely amazing. He opens up with, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Isn't that amazing? James doesn't say if trouble comes your way, but when trouble comes your way. He knows we're going to have troubles. And James is trying to teach us right now that it's possible to profit from them. The point is not to pretend to be happy when we face pain, but to have a positive outlook. Because of what troubles can produce in our life, what does it matter to be unhappy or sad? James tells us to turn our hardships into times of learning. Times can teach us perseverance. Tough times can teach us perseverance. We can't really know the depth of our character. We cannot really know the depth of our character until we see how we react under pressure. When my mom owned a restaurant, and cooks from afar came wanting to work underneath her, my mom didn't care about resumes. She didn't care about all the recommendations. But if someone wanted a job with my mom to work behind her line in her kitchen, she would try them out over lunch rush. She would put them in whites and Converse tennis shoes and wait till the place was packed and then cut them loose. She wanted to see how they reacted under pressure when there were 20 orders in front of them, when all the skillets were burning butter, when the olive oil ran out, when the floor is slippery and you're sliding around behind the line trying to cook. That's when you find out, when you're under pressure. You cannot know the depth of your character until we see how we react under pressure. It's easy to be kind to other people when everything is going good. But can we still be kind when people are treating us unfairly? When we're being evicted from our home? When people are gossiping about us? God wants us to be mature and complete. Not to keep us from all pain, though. So don't complain about your struggles. We should see them as opportunities for growth. Thank God for promising to be with you in the rough times. Ask Him for help to solve your problems. God will not leave you alone with your problems. He will stay close and He will help you grow. James himself describes himself as a servant of God and of Jesus Christ. James understands his life in reference to another. He is known only in relationship to God and Jesus. James writes to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. That tells me it was written before AD 50 to the Jewish Christians who were dispersed due to persecution. Jesus nailed to the cross. Everybody split. They're all running. And James wants to help them to know the purpose for which Christ has called them. And he wants to help them deal with all of these trials that they're going through. Christians were getting persecuted, killed, stabbed, raped, maimed. James talks about people in the midst of difficulties. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials. James assumes that people are in the trials. The word various, by the way, in Greek means whatever trials. It is meant to convey the sense that it's all kinds of trials. Large trials, small trials. You ran out, you lost $5 in your wallet. You're getting evicted from your home because you can't pay the mortgage. You're getting a divorce. Or you lost a library book. All kinds of trials. But James does not want to restrict his words to any particular situation. He is saying that they are to count all of their trials as joy. We are to account for all of our struggles in the same manner. They may seem very different from one another. We may see someone else in a very difficult time and think that we have nothing in common with them. Or we could be facing the hugest, largest trial of our lives. And we could feel no one can understand. Right now, I am going through the largest trial of my life. And everyone I tell about my trial can't believe that I'm going through this trial. They just can't understand it. But what James is saying under the anointing of the Holy Spirit is that all trials can be understood to be the testing of our faith. Testing does not mean that God has us going through these trials to examine our faith to see if it's worth a passing grade. Testing here is the word used for testing metals. That is what this Greek testing means, where you test in order to remove impurities so that the metal is stronger, has more integrity. When you go through various trials, God is burning down the metal. He's making it all liquid. And what happens when metal is burnt down? All the bad stuff floats to the top, doesn't it? And then God scrapes it off. Being melted down, being changed, losing everything, starting over from scratch, redesigning yourself, completely starting over, new career, new home. That is like liquefying each one of yourselves, changing and letting God scrape out the impurities. When we go through these trials, we can actually exercise our trust in God. And in that way, we can find Him trustworthy. When we have faith through brutal trials, it's like going to God's club and working out. You're making your faith muscles huge and strong. In turn, we are able to trust Him with more of our lives. I see myself going through a major trial right now. The mathematical odds of what is happening to me is completely impossible. There is no way, without divine intervention, that these things could be happening to me that are happening to me right now. But I have faith in God that God's going to pull me through. Amen?
Amen.
I have faith that I'm going to make it through. And as I exercise my faith in the heat of this trial, my faith muscles become big. And I know that God's going to pull me through. And if we hand this trial over to God, even if we have to do it again and again and again, He is real and present and active in our lives. When we go through hard times and don't trust God, He becomes more distant and more abstract to us. We know this to be true not only in our relationship with Him, but in our relationship with others. Either our relationships grow stronger with others or they grow weaker. So James says to his sisters and brothers, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." When we test our faith, we decide to step out on God, to count on Him, to live as if He truly is our loving Heavenly Father. The more we see Him work, the more we know we can count on Him. As we count on Him, as we praise Him, as we love Him in the time of trial, our faith grows and stronger. God can grow us up in our faith so that we are more steady, more ready to hand over a trial when it faces us. Now, James said that they are to count it joy when they face the trials that come because they can become steadfast as they have their faith tested. What does it mean to count it joy? And why is having a steadfast faith a good thing? First, to count it joy is not to pretend. The circumstance of the trial may be due to evil. For whatever your trial going through, in my case, my mom having a stroke, the illness of my grandmother, the attack on me by people, that in itself is not joyful. Joy has to do not with the trial itself, but in the use to which God intends to put it. What is actually being tested? It's our faith. So if our faith is purified, what is the result? The purification or perfection of our faith. That's the result. If it is our faith in God which becomes a faith that endures, it will remain in tough times. It has greater staying power. That would lead to our completion and perfection. Because soon we will be turning all of our problems over to God. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. His trust in the Father enabled Him to face the cross. Jesus' own faith led Him in perfect trust and obedience. It's that same pathway that's for us too. In Him, with Him, our Christ-likeness comes through following Jesus in the exact same way. And we have to face our trials exactly the same way Jesus did. Have faith in the Father. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation, James says. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, "God is tempting me." Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. The crown of life is like winning the victory wreath at the Olympics. It means living with God forever. The way to be in God's winner's circle is by loving Him and staying faithful, even under pressure. So when we're going through bad times, we have to really have faith in God. We have to really push forward and praise Him. We have to really push forward and have faith that He's going to take care of us.
Yes.
If there's 2 days left and your mortgage is due and your insurance is due, and all of your bills are due, and you have $88 in the bank, have faith that God is going to pull you through. Be joyful. Treat people nicely. Be kind. Go out and teach Bible study to someone. If you just found out you have a horrible disease, maybe you've lost a spouse, praise to Jesus. Have faith in him. I feel so good about Jesus right now because this movie I saw last night, Heaven is for Real, it really changed me. No one ever hurts you. No one ever hurts your feelings. No one ever hurts you physically. It's just a beautiful place to be in the presence of God. I've heard so many stories about people having near-death experiences, talking about this, painting things about this. I pray in the name of Jesus that we all learn to have the faith to move mountains, the faith to endure. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that we all just have supernatural faith, Father God. Even though we're going through trials, Father God, even though we've lost things, Father God, that we just have supernatural faith, Father God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I pray for those with illnesses in this room, Father God, that they're cured. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We love Jesus?
Yeah.
Jesus, amen.
Jesus touched me.
Really? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.